We're going to continue our discussions with our broadcast partners right now. David Dolan with a Middle East news update. David, man, so much happening. Let me get right to it. What are your observations of the uprisings in the Arab world? They're in Cairo, over in Amman, in Beirut. What's happening?
Well, Jimmy, it's probably going to turn out to be the most important news cycle in the Middle East, my guess is, since the 1973 Yom Kippur War. That's how momentous the events are. We have now got essentially an Iranian-backed government ruling Beirut, ruling Lebanon, with the appointment of a pro-Hezbollah prime minister this week in Lebanon, and then, of course, the attempts to overthrow the Mubarak government, and as everyone's been pointing out, by far the largest Arab country in the Middle East, in the world, with 80 million citizens. About 50 million of those are under the age of 20, 25. So it's a youthful revolution taking place, the problem being that the Muslim Brotherhood movement is very strong there, even though it's been suppressed by President Mubarak and his regime over the years. And if there are democratic elections there, they will certainly win a third to half of the vote, the experts are saying, and they will be in any coalition government. And, of course, that's how Hezbollah essentially came to power. They were in a government ruled by someone else, and then they eventually were able to take it over. I see the hand of Iran behind all of this. Not that they started the process in Tunisia, not that they're responsible for the fact that food is very expensive and that poverty rules in a lot of those countries, but I think they are pushing behind the scenes to bring in Muslim fundamentalist governments also in Jordan. And as Shimon Peres said it best last week, that he was visiting with the French foreign minister, he said he worries about these revolutions, as he called it, taking place in the neighboring countries more than he does a potential war or major terror attack. So it's a very serious situation indeed that could well lead to the abrogation of the peace treaties with Israel, between Egypt and Israel and Jordan and Israel, if it goes that far, and indeed in the future a new war that would involve once again the most powerful Arab country in the region. And Israel's fought them before, and that is definitely an equation changer and a very worrisome development indeed.
David, you mentioned the 73 war, the Yom Kippur War, and at that particular time, Egypt was involved in that. But I read a report that the military might of Egypt at that time looks like cavemen compared to their military might today.
Well, that's absolutely the case, and there's only one address that's responsible for that, and that's the United States of America. Now, I'm not condemning that. I think the Camp David peace treaties were an important development. It has kept us from a major, major war since 1973. That's been the cornerstone of the peace process over the years. But as a result, we pledged over $1 billion a year in military aid to Egypt, and that's been rolling in all those years. They have got great equipment now, great training, and of course, the idea was a pro-American military. Well, they probably still are that. I think they are that, but if a government comes in that has a strong Muslim element, Muslim fundamentalist element in it, that's allied with Hamas, because, of course, the Hamas movement came out of the Egyptian Muslim Brotherhood movement, undoubtedly they'll use those weapons and that power to assist Hamas and to assist, in a sense, Al-Qaeda, not directly, but giving them another platform. And this is, of course, exactly what happened in Iran, where a pro-American regime that we had armed fell, and those weapons fell into our enemies' hands. And the worst nightmare there, Jimmy, is not really Egypt, but Saudi Arabia. The real prospect that they will fall, the Saud regime will fall, because they have been buying with their copious amounts of money, much more than $1 billion a year. They have been buying the latest, best U.S. equipment and have just completed a $50 billion deal with the United States to get some of the best aircraft and refueling and AWACS and everything. Israel may be facing all of this equipment, a war that is essentially being fought by American equipment on both sides. This would be also a first because, of course, it was the Soviets that were behind the arming of Egypt and Syria in the 60s and 70s. So it's a very worrisome development for sure.
Well, and I read so many American political pundits and some others from around the world as well saying that this is a popular uprising from among the young people who just want to have power and don't worry about it. It's just going to be a call for reform, political reform, etc. Howbeit, every single person involved seems to hate Israel. You mentioned a moment ago the abrogation of the peace treaties. That would put us back to block number one, would it not, as far as the Israelis are concerned, with peace in any of the countries of the Arab world?
Well, it would indeed, Jimmy. And there's a real dilemma here. We're danged if we do, and we're danged if we don't.
Yes.
I mean, there was no way that we could support or want to support the suppression of real democratic reforms in the Middle East. The problem is that when you give a people that are basically Muslim fundamentalists in their nature, now Egypt has a large Christian contingent, about 10% of the population are Coptic Christians. It also has many fairly liberal Sunni Muslims that are not Muslim fundamentalists. When you give the one man, one vote to these people, you're going to get the same result as we did amongst the Palestinians. Here was the Oslo peace process. A component of it was free elections. They were held in 2006, and who won? Hamas. The same thing happened in Algeria. When they tried free elections in the early 90s, it was Muslim fundamentalists that were coming out on top. So they will use that system to gain power, and the problem is, then as soon as they really gain control, they ban the system, or they change it, as Hamas tried to do. They tried to violate the treaty, and they stepped up their terror attacks and didn't use democracy to bring reform. So it's unlikely that this process will bring any betterment of the lives of the people of Egypt, and the young people in particular who want to see more freedoms and reforms. That's understandable. I mean, this is a trend everywhere. But they're playing with dynamite, and frankly, at the White House, they have a dilemma because the devil, you know, is at least one that has kept the peace and has not been supporting Al Qaeda and has been suppressing Hezbollah trying to bring weapons into Gaza and et cetera. The devil you don't know may be one that doesn't do that, very likely so, and that breaks the peace process in two. And the results would be undoubtedly a major war.
Give me about 30 seconds on this one, if you will, David. I talked with Bob McGinnis about that just a moment ago. The Iranian naval fleet sailing into the Red Sea and wanting to come through the Suez Canal into the Mediterranean. Is Israel concerned about that?
Yes, they are. And again, the Mubarak administration has prevented those sorts of things, but a new government upcoming may not do so. So it's just another factor to suspect that the Iranians are behind this, or at least taking advantage of it, or will take advantage of it, as they did in Lebanon. And if Jordan falls as well, we really are in big trouble.
How close is Jordan to falling? Is the monarchy going to come down? Would King Abdullah have to step down?
It's stronger because it is a monarchy. It's very well loved by many of the people, but Hamas is also stronger there. The Muslim fundamentalists are much stronger there than they are in Egypt, maybe 60-70% of the people. So they do have a chance of ousting that government.
And I do have just a hair more time left, 15 seconds on this one. The International Holocaust Remembrance Day, the world stopped to remember the 6 million, but it looks like indeed there are those elements, especially in the Middle East, that would like to get rid of about 6 million more Jews.
Well, that's right, and the Israelis are extremely worried today, that's for sure.
David Dolan, he's the man who covers the Middle East for us. He's been a journalist there for over 25 years. He's on top of what's happening When I got a hold of him just a moment ago during the break, he said, man, there's a lot to talk about in the Middle East. This is not going to go away. We'll have to have additional conversations. Do you not agree, David?
I guess we will, Jimmy.
Never a dull moment as it relates to what's going on in the Middle East. David, thank you so very much for being available for us.
You're welcome, Jimmy. God bless.